You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Last Sunday's program with Dave Dravecki was a thrill. His confession of faith in Jesus Christ was a great encouragement to me, and I hope to you also. The vitality of this Easter faith in Jesus Christ is something that we want to stay with us always. Something else that has stayed with me during this past week is the thought of baseball. Having been raised in the south suburbs of Chicago, I have, for some 40 years, been a loyal fan of the Chicago White Sox. Now, in the 90 years that the White Sox have been in the American League, they have had some good years and some bad years. One good year that tickles me was 1906, when the White Sox defeated the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. The Sox' worst year was in 1919, when they again were in the World Series, this time against the Cincinnati Reds. The White Sox were expected to win, but they didn't, because 8 of their players took bribes from gamblers to throw the series. That 1919 team became known as the Black Sox. The Black Sox are the subject of a book written by Elliot Azanoff and entitled 8 Men Out. One of the scenes in that book is very touching, and it leads to today's theme. Today's theme is that people often disappoint us, and our earthly hopes are often dashed. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you a resilient faith that can face and overcome the disappointments of life. In Azanoff's story, a boy was standing outside a Chicago courthouse where the Black Sox were on trial. When Joe Jackson, one of the accused Black Sox, walked out of the courthouse, this little boy went up to him, tugged on his sleeve, and said, "Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so." Now that's something all of us have felt many, many times. Say it isn't so. We invest our hopes and dreams in a person, and they let us down. We have, we think, reason to expect the good things in life, but our hopes go sour. It might be something like Dave and Janice Dravecki experienced. Their baseball career was soaring. Then they were shocked. They heard the doctor use the word tumor. Maybe you have had that experience. Like the little boy tugging on his hero's sleeve, maybe you looked at the doctor with a look and said, "Say it isn't so." Few families these days are not touched in some way by divorce. We invest so much hope in a marriage. We see so much good in marriage, not only for the husband and wife, but also for the parents and relatives and friends who rejoice at a wedding. And then we hear that the couple has decided to go their separate ways. We really don't like to hear that. Our hearts break within us, and we cry out, "Say it isn't so." And we come even closer to everyone, to your life and mine, when we think of all the times we've been awake at night with worry, or during the day when we stare off blankly into space because the problems were just too overwhelming, and we say, "Oh God, say it isn't so. Say this is not happening to me." I can't imagine any disappointment as painful as the death of a young adult, a young husband or wife, or the death of a child. The grief consumes you. You don't believe that this is happening to you. You cry out over and over and over again, "Oh God, say this isn't so." I know of nothing that can help you struggle through these times of bitter disappointment, as well as faith in Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death. Faith in the Lord of life can make your shattered life whole and your personality resilient. Walter Cronkite used to conclude his newscast by saying, "That's the way it is." For many people, the crushing disappointments of life are the way it is, and there's nothing more to be reported. There's only disappointment and bitterness. The desperate plea, "Say it isn't so," is met by a cruel, "That's the way it is." But for disappointed people who know the Lord of life, for the crushed hopes of people who have something more on their mind than their earthly aspirations, for those who not only acknowledge God's existence, but believe in God through Jesus Christ, for you who know that the God who raised Jesus from the dead on Easter still has the power to help you in your disappointments, to such people the Christian faith is lively, vital, resilient. Jesus himself can identify with disappointment. He knows the feeling. Think about the days before he died. Jesus took his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to three of his disciples, "You stay here and pray, while I go yonder to pray." Jesus comes back shortly thereafter, and they're asleep. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Say it isn't so. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and you're asleep? Oh, say it isn't so." Then Judas came to do his dastardly thing, and he betrayed Jesus. "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Say it isn't so." Then they took Jesus to the house of the high priest Caiaphas. Peter followed. Peter went into the courtyard and warmed his hands by the fire. A young girl comes up and says, "Surely you're one of his disciples." "Oh, no, no, no." Then a soldier came up. "Yes, you are. I can tell by your speech. You're a Galilean." "No, no, I don't know this man." And then Jesus walked by, and he looked straight into Peter's soul. If there were a caption under that sad look from Jesus to Peter, the caption might be this: "Say it isn't so. Say that you have not denied me." As disappointed as Jesus must have been, as saddened as Jesus was because his own followers let him down, he was still determined to continue. Oh, he could have gotten out of it. He reminded the disciples in the garden that he could have called upon his heavenly Father to send legions of angels to his defense. But Jesus was resolutely intent upon his purpose. That purpose was to free you from sin and death, and to give to you a strong faith and hope in the power and glory of God. Jesus was not about to let the things that he saw, the disappointments of life, the despair, the cynicism, the bitterness, all these deep emotions that reflect our alienation from the good God, Jesus was not about to let all the evidences of sin that he saw and that we experience keep him from his divine mission of freeing you from sin and death and giving you a lively and resilient faith and hope in God. No, the disappointments that Jesus experienced from the sinful people around him did not stop his determination to bring you and me freedom from sin and eternal death. On Good Friday, the innocent Christ, the Lamb without spot or blemish, he who knew no sin but was made sin for us, on Good Friday he willingly let himself be crucified on a wretched and miserable cross. There he died. He died for you. For you. He died for you so that in your deepest disappointments you might put your faith and hope in God. St. Peter says in the first chapter of his first epistle, "You know that you were freed from the worthless life you inherited from your fathers, not by a payment of silver or gold which perish, but by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or spot. He is the Lamb who was appointed before the world was made, and he was revealed in the last period of time to help you. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And so your faith and hope rest in God." We're not just talking here about Good Friday and death. We're talking about Easter and resurrection. We're not just talking about disappointment and despair. We're talking about disappointment and despair being overwhelmed by resilient faith and hope in the God who raised Christ from the dead and will raise us also. Imagine the bitter disappointment of Jesus' followers after his death on Good Friday. This is a young man who has died. But more than that, in this young man they had placed so much of their hope. You know, the greater the hope and expectation, the greater the disappointment when it doesn't turn out the way you anticipated it would. The depressed Emmaus disciples voiced that when they said, "We were hoping that he would be the one who was going to free Israel." And so everyone was going home disappointed. Those two disciples to Emmaus, many of the others staying in Jerusalem, locking themselves in their houses because they imagined that it was all over. They must have gone to sleep that Friday and Saturday night thinking, "Say it isn't so." But we're not talking only about despair and disappointment. As I said, we're talking about resurrection and lively hope. On Easter, God announces, "It isn't so." The despair, the disappointment, the cynicism, the futility that the disciples felt and that we feel today when things don't go as we anticipate, it doesn't have to be so. God raised Jesus from the dead so that in your struggles with disappointment, you can put your faith and hope in God. That resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead gives you an historical fact that can pull you through the times when you wish you were dead. There are times of despair and disappointment when you're tempted to say, "What's the use? I might as well be dead." At those times, the fact that God raised his Son from the dead gives you something in which you can place all your hopes. The God who raised Jesus is still around. He's giving hope to many people today who face very serious problems. We heard that last week. When Dave and Janice Dravecki heard the word tumor, they didn't allow themselves time to indulge in despair. Instead, they went straight to God. One of their dearest passages, a Bible passage that has kept their faith alive and resilient in many a trying time, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where St. Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You see, Easter is not a one-day event. The resurrection of Christ is not confined to history or archaeology. The God whose power raised Jesus from the dead is able to help people today. He can lift your sights beyond disappointment and give you a lively and a resilient faith that will help you struggle through the tough times. The resilient faith offered to you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes the words on your lips and the thoughts in your heart. When disappointment and despair make you cry out, "Say it isn't so," the sure knowledge that God raised Christ and offers you the resilient power of faith makes you say, "It's so, it's really so." God comes to us on Easter and he says that all the futility, all the cynicism in this world, and which infects the church too, doesn't have to be so. Because the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for your sins was accepted. If Jesus were still in the tomb, it would indicate that God had not accepted the sacrifice for your sins. But by raising his Son, God is announcing to the whole world that your sins are forgiven. The past is over and done with. You are now alive in him. And that is so. One final word now about this lively hope. I talked earlier about the 1919 White Sox who threw the World Series. That was the last year that team won the American League pennant until 1959. When they won the 59 pennant, they lost the World Series to the Dodgers. I remember talking to my cousin John, who now lives in Dayton, Ohio. And I said what all good baseball fans are supposed to say, "Wait till next year." Cousin John said, "Dale, it'll take them 40 years to win another one." Well, the White Sox have come close since 1959. In 1983, they won their division, but they haven't won the pennant. It has now been 30 years. But I hope John's prophecy of 40 years doesn't come true. I hope. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Either way, the world will most likely continue. That's the way we talk about hope in this world. Hope is wishful thinking. Hope in the living Christ is different. It's not just wishful thinking that I've been talking about in today's message. It's sure, it's certain, just as God and His Word are sure and certain. When God says to you, as He has today, that you have eternal life and a lively hope to sustain you in your problems because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can know it's true because it comes from God. We're not talking here about our national pastime and wishful thinking. We are talking about your eternal destiny and your confident living. Of that hope in Christ, we say, it is so. Amen.